Welcome to the Super Speedway.
We don't have any business being out in the rain, period. So, you know, all I can say is this is the worst decision that we've ever made in our sport that I've been a part of, and I've never felt more unsafe in my whole racing career, period.
Welcome to episode 196 of the Super Speedway podcast, recorded Tuesday, May 25th, 2021. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, that's kind of the way we describe this podcast, right?
That's about it. That's how we usually start every podcast. Yeah.
Never felt more unsafe in my podcast career.
Yeah. That's about right. I think when we did the podcast while you were driving that one time, that was definitely the least safe I've ever felt.
Not only were we doing it while I was driving, but we were driving in post-race traffic.
Yeah, we were.
That might have been pretty dumb.
That was fun. Oh, good times. Pre-pandemic days. Yeah.
Still out there if people want to watch it or listen to it. Watch. I say watch it because James.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. If you're listening to this podcast right now on your normal iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen, there in theory is a video version as well on YouTube. I say in theory because there is always the possibility that it doesn't work properly and it doesn't get done.
Yep.
And it'll be delayed. It'll be about a day behind because I have to actually do a little bit of editing and actual work with it to make it happen. So, but yeah, we're doing video tonight for the first time. We tried it out last week and it worked. And so this week we're doing it for real.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric, I got dressed up for the occasion. So hold on. Let me tilt the camera down. I busted out this shirt's 10 years old from Tony Stewart's championship season.
That's awesome.
I'm going to find the rest of my 90s NASCAR gear. And then Eric, this one's for you. This is especially for you. Cause you call me a hater all the time. So I'm going to wear this tonight.
Nice.
But you see that right there.
Nice.
Kyle Busch.
Yeah. For those of you listening, it is a Kyle Busch M&M's hat.
So since we're doing the podcast on video, I figured I got to get decked out. I'm going to wear a hat just for you. I'm going to wear my shirt. So I'm representing Eric and James in tonight's podcast.
That's good stuff. Good stuff.
And if you never see the video, then nobody ever knew that I wore a Kyle Busch hat.
Right. There you go. Exactly. I did not get dressed up for this, so I have nothing for show and tell tonight. I am prepared for some show and tell in the future, but not yet tonight.
Yeah,
so.
I think. Well, if we're gonna keep doing this video thing, I mean, let's I know we're doing mostly an audio medium here, but let's show some stuff here. So
who knows if everybody checks out the YouTube channel? So I haven't even set up the channel yet, guys, but there will be a The Super Speedway YouTube channel. I can't tell you what the link is right now because. I don't know what it is because it's not set up. This is how prepared I am. So
it'll end up on the Facebook page though. So if you're following us on Facebook,
exactly.
There you go. Or we'll, exactly. And we can both tweet it out too. So yeah, let's do that. So
somehow you guys found us here to begin with. So you should be able to find the video too. So if you want to watch the podcast, we'll do that. And who knows if it works out in the future.
Yeah.
We have some plans. We have some things.
Well, I'm going to do sponsor plugs like Bubbly. Nice. I'm drinking your water tonight.
Nice.
I will, if need be, I will drink alcoholic beverages.
Mine will be Yeti.
There you go.
This was a great investment, by the way.
Yeah, I got one of those next to me too, but I go with the Kyle Busch sponsored Orca cup.
Nice. See, so. I went with the Yeti. I had a Walmart brand and I got the Yeti and James, I'm a name brand person.
You are, yes.
So it might just be because I'm a name brand person and it might be all in my head, but I swear this thing was way better than the Walmart version.
I've got a Yeti version as well, but the Orca, for whatever reason, the Orca has been the preferred glass mug from here. I guess it's not glass, whatever the heck these things are made out of.
The thing
titanium alloy.
The thing that won me over is, and I was going to take it off and show you, but I'll probably spill water all over my desk, which would put an end to this podcast pretty quick. This is a terrible NASCAR podcast, by the way.
This is what people want to hear anyway, Eric. Yeah, exactly. They want to hear us bumbling around.
There's no news this week, guys. There's hardly any news, so we're just stretching this out. We don't have Derek on this week to stretch us out to an hour and a half, so we gotta. So it's got the magnetic flip top on it, and I could have just bought a magnetic flip top for my current Walmart brand, but I wanted the Yeti. I had to get the real thing. So.
Go big or go home, man.
Yeah. Anyway, so James, we had a NASCAR race this weekend. We had three of them, actually.
Oh my God. Yeah, we did.
First time ever at Circuit of the Americas. We'll start with the Cup Series. It was the Echo Park Texas Grand Prix, Wreckfest / Poor Visibility 500.
Slip and slide.
Martin Truex Jr. looked like he was in iRacing the way he got punted into the sky by Cole Custer. Holy crap. I would imagine that Kevin Harvick's accident looked very similar if we could have seen it.
Yeah, we saw the in-car camera. We know he got a little bit airborne.
Yeah.
That was as close to video game action as I've seen live. I mean, there was no stop. I mean, Cole Custer was not stopping when he hit Truex. And that was scary. I know we'll probably talk about, I mean, is that where you want to start?
Well, let's start. So everybody always accuses us of skipping it. Let's start with the winner. Chase Elliott gets the win. I put in the notes, he's gifted the victory. I want to be really clear here because I'm going to make a bunch of jokes tonight about how NASCAR decided they wanted Chase Elliott to win this race. There is not a single part of me that actually believes that NASCAR is staging races. It's not happening. But right. I'm going to make a bunch of jokes about it because it always seems to happen when Chase Elliott is in the lead.
Yeah. Well, they owed him one from the Daytona 500. They held onto the flag for a millisecond too long. So, yeah, they got him one here.
Yeah. So, yeah, Chase Elliott gets a win. And it's a big win for Chase Elliott. Big win for Chevrolet and Hendrick as well.
Needed it.
It was the 800th win for Chevrolet in the Cup Series. It was the 268th win for Hendrick Motorsports, which ties Petty Enterprises for most wins, period, in the Cup Series. So that's pretty cool. Let's see. Let me pull up my stats here. It is Chase Elliott's first victory of the season and his 12th victory in 199 Cup Series races.
Mm-hmm. His sixth all-time road course victory in 14 starts as well. So
right. And you guys
almost batting 500.
You all poo-pooed me last week when I picked him.
We did.
It didn't get me anywhere in the points for our picks, but
yeah. Well, I think Chase Elliott understands this as well. This one was you put it in the notes, Eric. Gifted. I mean, it really
whether it was an intentional gift or not, it was a gift.
It wasn't a Chase Elliott road course win. Right. I mean, he when he wins on road courses, he has been dominant. So. Yes, definitely a gift, but again, right place, right time. You got to be up front when the moment matters, and he was, you know, a couple more laps, maybe Kyle Larson's that guy, or so on and so forth, and a couple laps sooner, it's Kyle Busch. I think it all just really depended, Eric, on when that final caution was going to fly. We almost had it with Kurt.
Yeah. Oh, too, man. So, you know, I was really upset about them stopping this race because I kind of feel like they should have stopped it when the Harvick incident happened, especially when Truex got hit, when we already had it happen with Harvick, the caution before. Yeah. But you know, we almost did have it a third time. So I guess, you know, you kind of got to give it to NASCAR for saying, okay, yeah, maybe it's time to stop this at this point.
Yeah.
Cause that one could have been pretty bad as well. Want to hear something incredible, James?
Let's do it.
54 laps.
Ugh.
This race was 54 laps long.
It took 7.5 hours, however long it was.
54 laps, 184.14 miles was the distance.
Wow. Yeah, it took a long time.
Yeah.
It was a long day. You know, started out with the pace laps, and it takes a long time to pace lap that place. And then they came in for tires after the pit road check, and it took a long time to get started. But honestly, Eric, I loved the strategy at the start of the race. You know, I loved that McDowell and Truex, I love that they stayed on the wet tires.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is great. I'm like, we've got our legit road course race here. And all of a sudden it turned into a monsoon and, it just got ugly really fast, which is unfortunate.
It's not so much that it turned into a monsoon as the fact that you've got a long straightaway.
High speeds
and just no visibility with the way the water sits on that track. And,
yep.
I applaud NASCAR for going out and hitting it with the Air Titans and fixing it for a while. By the sounds of things, it wasn't going to happen again because it was raining harder at the end of that race than it had all day.
Yeah, no lights. It's already dangerous out there. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a bummer to see COTA end its first race that way. But at the end of the day, I think NASCAR was erring on the side of caution after everything that happened and drivers upset and Officials looking goofy.
Yeah.
You know, it
was
just,
I feel like we look kind of silly on a Formula One track. Like,
well, we've done that before.
Exactly. NASCAR's looked silly many times in its history.
Yeah, when you've got two guys celebrating a win at Montreal, Robbie Gordon,
right.
You know, we've been there, done that.
But, yeah.
It stinks, man. I thought the whole day was intriguing, to be honest with you. I couldn't really take my eyes off of it. Probably not intriguing for the right reasons, where you want to see good racing.
Yeah, I think if it was dry, I don't think we would have cared about this race at all, to be honest.
No, I think honestly this might be the most intriguing COTA race we'll ever see, because the way the other races played out over the weekend, that place being dry or raceable conditions, the field's going to get pretty spread out, it looks like. I mean, that's a real legit road course.
Yeah.
And you know, it spreads out, but
well, that begs the question, does NASCAR really belong on a really legit road course? Because, you know, we race on, I mean, not to be mean, but we kind of race on dumbed down road courses. And, you know, we even dumbed down Sears Point more. And then now we've gone back to the original. We have a shortened version of Watkins Glen. We have the Roval. When we ran back in the day in Riverside, that wasn't a true road course. I mean, it was, but it wasn't. It was a stock car road course.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do we belong on a Formula One course?
I don't know. I don't know. I think
I'd like maybe to the new see car it. Will help it.
Yeah, I'd like to see it again. I mean, the Australian supercars run road courses all the time.
Right.
So I'd like to see it again in a clean state. just
problem is if you run this race the same time next year, this is the rainy season in Austin, so
yeah. And then we've got you know, I know we've got some other road courses coming up here very shortly. You know, we're going to be heading to Elkhart Lake, and you know, and then of course we've got Sonoma, Watkins Glen, and a couple others. So yeah, I want to see it again just to legitimize it, but the rain really just turn this thing into unfortunately it was a NASCAR sideshow, which Eric, we get those in NASCAR how many times, you know, a year we get a right. sideshow race, and this week was just a complete sideshow, which sucks, you know. I hated it, but again, I was intrigued, so I don't know what does NASCAR want. I mean, they had my eyeballs on it, so I wasn't looking away, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to judge whether, I don't know that it was a success, but I don't know that it was a failure. You know,
it wasn't it wasn't a failure. It wasn't a success. It was somewhere in the middle. I don't know what you would term that other than.
And I mean, it was largely because of the weather, and NASCAR can't control the weather. I mean, I guess, you know, I think NASCAR needs to look at their policies as far as, and maybe they don't need to look at their policies. Maybe they need to look at enforcing their policies, because if I remember correctly, when we first went to rain tires, they're wet weather tires. They are not rain tires. NASCAR
tires.
Never said that they'd race in the rain. As a matter of fact, NASCAR said before, if it's raining at the start of the race, they won't start the race.
Yeah.
And now suddenly, you know, we raced in the freaking monsoon last year at the Roval.
Yeah.
And then now we're racing here. Maybe it's time to back off a little bit and say, okay, if there's rain falling, it probably just doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was, you got to think about this too, Eric. I'll credit Jeff Gluck and Jordan Bianchi on this one. They said on their podcast, Jeff had a great point about this being the first real rain race for the Cup Series.
Yeah.
It was wet at the Roval last year, but not like this. And I think what he said too was NASCAR learned a whole heck of a lot about racing in the rain after what they saw here, because these cars, you know, when you think about sports car racing, Formula One, IndyCar, you've got a real, you're not in a close racing environment like NASCAR has. NASCAR, of course, as we know, Eric, built on entertainment, right?
Right.
We have close pack racing all the time. And when these cars are flying down that back straightaway, there's no space to be had. They're four wide. They're driving into a fog.
Yeah.
And the cars just aren't designed for the rain. So I think NASCAR
kind of like they're not designed for dirt.
They're not designed for dirt. They're not designed for the rain, but we're going to do it anyway. So,
I mean, that's my argument against it. I think
lots of lessons learned
here. I was really excited about racing in the rain. I've been waiting for it for years. And now that we've done it a couple times,
it sucks, man.
Yeah, it's really not any good. I kind of would almost prefer, I mean, I like the, That's why I kind of like the wet weather idea, because I do like the intrigue of when do you go to slicks? When do you switch to wets? You know, that,
yeah, I like that
part is interesting. And it was interesting when we did it in the Xfinity series the first time too, several years ago.
Yeah.
But the actual racing in the rain sucks. You get, you get no visibility. You get people running. Well, they don't run single file because they're trying to stay out of each other's wake. And then you get these brutal wrecks like we saw, especially at a track like COTA that just, man, I don't know. You get drivers looking foolish as they slide off the track and can't control their cars. And
yeah, I remember last year's podcast after the Roval, I was upset about
racing. See, I loved it. But
yeah, I was upset. I'm like, this is not good. This is not good. And I feel...
But so here's the difference, though, too, is that, okay, if you're going to have the sideshow, have it in the lower series. This is the Cup Series, man.
Yeah,
this is Formula One. This is IndyCar. This is the big show.
When you think, I don't know, I mean, if any of the F1 guys, Daniel Ricciardo, were watching this race, they had to just be shaking their heads. Like, this is, you know, I know F1 guys take themselves way too seriously.
I don't know, man. Did you see what happened to Charles Leclerc this weekend?
There's a lot going on.
So Charles
with F1.
Charles Leclerc wrecked in qualifying or in practice, and they decided to run the car as was. They said they didn't think it had transmission trouble. They went out for the warm-up lap, and the thing broke, and they didn't even get to, he was started on the pole, didn't even get to start the race.
Some people don't belong to be in F1. That's all I'll say. I've learned enough about F1 over the last couple of years to know that there's a few people who don't need to be out there.
Speaking of sideshows, I'll pick on F1 a little bit more, because it wasn't really F1's fault. They have a different production company handle their broadcast for Monaco. But there was a point. Okay, so if you're not familiar with Monaco, it is the coolest Formula One race ever, and also the worst.
Yeah,
because you can't
it's
pass.
So tight. Yeah,
yeah.
It's
there's
tight.
There's no passing, but it's historic. It's on a track that hasn't changed since they first ran it, you know, 300 years ago.
Yeah,
and exaggerating obviously, but so they had a side by side battle coming out of the pits, and the freaking TV broadcast cut away to a replay of another thing. And missed the live coverage of the side by the only side by side race the entire race.
That's so funny.
And they missed it.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
So bad.
Yeah, Monaco's like, it's more for the party at this point.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
It's cool. Fun to watch. I like to watch it, but it's more fun on Labor Day on Memorial Day, because I get up first thing in the morning and
I know,
as I'm making breakfast, I watch it.
I know they moved it this year, which is
Has to do with it falls on the third Monday of the year of the month in Monaco, and it falls on Memorial Day here, but because Memorial Day is a week later this year here,
yep,
it still goes by the traditional date in Monaco. So they didn't move it. It just didn't fall.
It just didn't fall.
Day.
Yeah. So we'll get it back next year.
Yeah.
Which is, that's one of the great days of the year when you get it, when it all happens. But
yeah, I agree.
We'll get it back. We'll get it back.
I love Memorial Day for all the racing. It's just a day of racing. My wife hates it.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, James. So first of all, and I've gone back and forth on this answer. I think my opinion is going to be different than when I discussed it with you earlier this week. But should NASCAR call this race sooner? I mean, should we end this thing sooner, or did we call it at the right point?
I think we should have learned our lesson from the Kevin Harvick wreck and Christopher Bell and Bubba Wallace. I think we should have stopped the race right there and then either picked it up the next day or what have you. Don't bring out the air titans and do all that stuff and everything that they did. I mean, it was a disaster from that. We should have never gotten to the Martin Truex Jr. Cole Custer crash. That should have never happened.
But see, once that crash happened, they took the air titans out there. They paused for a half hour, an hour.
Yep.
And they fixed it. And it was good until it started raining again. So
yep,
maybe
it got bad again.
I don't know. Maybe I kind of changed my opinion on it and feel like they did the right thing. And at some point they had to stop it. And it's always going to be a judgment call of when you throw that caution at the end of the race. And it's kind of hard to argue with them throwing the caution shortly after Kurt Busch almost takes out two cars.
Yeah. I think if there's ever visibility issues ever again, we're red flagging the race. There's no way they're letting these guys do this again.
I don't think we'll race in this heavy of rain ever again.
Well, I mean, if every time we go to Texas, it rains, doesn't matter what track we're at. So we got to be ready for it. So,
yeah. But you know, another thing of note is that yesterday after this fiasco, they tested rain tires at Richmond.
Yeah, and they had a safety meeting apparently too between the drivers and NASCAR. So I wonder how that went.
Nice.
Yeah, that's I wonder how that went. Yeah, I think hindsight is what it is. And yes, it's easy to say, yeah, that Kevin Harvick wreck should have been enough to red flag this race. But again, NASCAR's officiating crew was learning on the fly here. So yeah. Hard to, you know, I don't know about you, Eric, but that Cole Custer wreck was the scariest thing I've seen on a Cup track in years. Him getting out of that car.
No kidding.
I mean, Stenhouse was still coming down. I mean, he was unbuckled and I don't know if anybody could see him.
Yeah.
I mean, the fire.
I'm often frightened as to how quickly these guys unbuckle their belts and how fast they drive while unbelted. I mean, when you see them go around with the, on the post race and do their burnouts, they're usually without belts.
Yes.
And you know,
and sometimes in Kyle Larson's case, without steering wheels.
Yeah. You crash a car at 35 miles an hour without a seatbelt, you're going through the windshield.
Yeah. It's not cool.
you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the human body's not made to go 35 miles an hour.
I know they're professionals, but still, that scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
When me too. Was getting out of that car. And that whole wreck was scary. I mean, the way he hit, he hits that wall a little bit differently. I mean,
well, fortunately, they have that Formula One absorbent barrier there that was. And if you look, the next opening didn't have that barrier there. So he was lucky he hit the one he did.
It was a whole weird thing because he wasn't stopping. He didn't see anybody there. And even if he tried to stop, he was going to be hydroplaning for a good couple hundred feet. So
no, the onboard cameras were just incredible.
Yeah.
Of the lack of visibility. I mean, when Harvick said, or maybe it wasn't Harvick, but one of them said you couldn't see a foot past the front of the car.
Yeah.
That was totally true.
They're just driving in the, I mean, we've all driven on the highway and that's what, 70 miles an hour. And people stop because you can't see anything. It's dangerous. And we're asking these guys to try to get 200 miles an hour down that long straightaway. And it was just terrifying. And yeah, I think that's the end of visibility issues on road courses. That was it. That was full stop. We're not going to see that again ever.
Yeah, I agree. Nope. I would not be, I don't think I would be disappointed if NASCAR made an announcement tomorrow that was, you know, we're just not going to do the rain thing anymore. We're just going to toss the rain tires out and just say, skip it.
Well,
but at the same time, I hope that we continue to try it.
Yeah.
And like I said, wet weather, fine. Light rain, fine.
Yeah.
But a legit rain. Yeah. Just park them.
Well, here's the thing, Eric, the rain tires are working.
Yeah.
They were driving incredible.
Yeah.
They work. I mean, the rain, they work.
Austin Cindric was doing pretty good on slicks.
We got to talk about Austin Cindric. Was that not the most impressive drive you've seen?
I was going to propose, James, that there should be some sort of bonus if the guy you pick for the Xfinity race to win wins the Cup race instead.
Yeah. That was awesome, man. That I was like floored with how great he was driving on those slicks. Everybody else was scrambling and panicking, and Truex couldn't even catch him on his rain tires.
I mean, we know the guy's a good road course racer, but does he not solidify him? I mean, we know he's coming to Cup, but does he solidify his opportunity in Cup with performance?
Yeah,
like
that? He's going to be winning races on road courses.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be a playoff driver. Just, you know, we're looking ahead to next year when he comes to Cup. He's going to be something else, man, to deal with. That was awesome. I was so impressed by that.
Yeah. He still got a 25th place finish out of the day too.
Yeah. He survived.
Yeah.
You know,
and fourth in the first two stages. So of course there was strategy involved there too, but.
And he was screaming cause he didn't pit at the right time. And he had an interesting day. A lot of guys had good days in considering, and I don't care where he finished because that got a little wonky at the end. He was the most impressive driver of the day, just doing what he did on those slicks. It was just awesome.
Your pick was pretty good. Kyle Larson gets the second place finish, and he would have won the sucker if it would have gone another five or six laps.
Yeah, he was looking pretty solid. I mean, he stayed out of trouble. You know, he was up front most of the day, and I think that helped with visibility, if anything. But yeah, he's gotten pretty good at these road course races. So,
James,
he's good everywhere.
He's good everywhere. He's just a really good driver.
I know people are going to knock him for getting another second place finish. This was not a standard. He didn't give anything away here. This was a well-earned second place finish.
So. Well, yeah. And again, he was on a strategy to win the race. They just called the race early.
Yep, exactly. So that was cool. I mean, he's running so well everywhere, threat to win every week, and it doesn't matter. It looks like it doesn't matter what track he's at. He's going to be threatening to win. So
what about Ross Chastain with a fourth place finish?
He was all over the place and ran so well.
Who the heck knew he could road course race?
Yeah. He was slinging it, man. He was, he had more time on the runoff than anybody else on the track, I think, but he was really good. AJ is up there. We know, and Joey Logano, we didn't even, I think he led the most laps.
Yeah.
Joey was running super well there for a while, but AJ, and we knew AJ was going to be good. And then we mentioned it last week, Chase Briscoe, sixth place finish, survived, didn't score a whole ton of points, but I mean, had a great day, his first career top 10. So
yeah,
a lot of cool stories up in the top 10.
Michael McDowell, another good day. Alex Bowman ran well in this thing. Tyler Reddick ran well.
Yeah. Tyler Reddick, he faded early. And actually after qualifying, Reddick was somebody I swapped into my fantasy team. I'm like, okay, he qualified fast. So I subbed Martin Truex for him. And I thought there was early in the race, I was like, boy, that was a disaster. And then he spun out. He had a heck of a day, but rallied back. And that was a great run for Tyler Reddick. Didn't really expect him to have a great road race, but got the pole, ran good. That's awesome.
Yeah. Anything else that jumps out at you on this one? Austin Dillon got 12th place. Chris Buescher ran well in 13th.
The top 10 streak ended for William Byron by one spot.
Yeah, one spot.
Yep. So he lost out, but that was a heck of a run there. So 11th place for Byron, and he survived the Benedetto getting into him. A lot of damage. That team had to bat. That was a battle to get that 11th place finish for him. So that was good.
Ryan Preece was strong with 15th place finish.
Yep. A lot of guys just hanging on. Like Ryan Newman was running really well most of the day. Kind of like Austin Cindric. Just kind of fell late and the way things worked out. Kurt Busch, I mean, that was an incredible, I don't know what you call that. That wasn't a save, but it was like he saved us from a wreck.
Right. So
thank you. Thank you, Kurt Busch, for dodging his brother and going into the sand trap. I thought for sure he was going to get stuck. Yeah, that was super impressive.
Thank goodness there's a little bit of tread on those tires.
Yeah, man. He bowled out of there, slung some dirt, and he was out of there. He rode the side of the wall and that was impressive too. So
James, how great was it to have practice and qualifying this week?
Oh, I loved it. Oh man, I miss it.
You know, it was perfect too. You got an hour of practice and that was it.
Yep.
Yep. You know, and we're doing it again this week and we got practice this weekend.
Yes. I'm excited. I'm glad to have it back. That's, you know, that's the way it should be. I don't know.
I agree.
Just an hour of practice is good enough. That's all you need.
Just enough. Get the cars on the track. Give people a chance to see something the day before.
Make sure that all the parts and stuff are the way they're supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure that the panels that are blocking certain parts of the car are removed.
So you don't blow up at Talladega. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else here. Not really. Chase Briscoe, you mentioned, highest finishing rookie on the day.
Yeah.
Denny Hamlin leads point standings, 98 points over William Byron leaving this race.
Yeah, Byron's chipping away at that points lead, like ever so slightly.
Yeah, and this weekend at Charlotte is Chase Elliott's 200th start in the Cup Series.
Yeah, and Eric, I think, I know you mentioned it, but you mentioned it earlier, but this is the 800th win for Chevy.
Yeah,
really cool. They lead all manufacturers, obviously, and then Rick Hendrick tying Petty Enterprises with 268 wins. So now. I'm hoping that Petty can get another win.
Does it count though? Cause now it's RPM.
I don't know. I guess if it's tied to Richard Petty,
it still should count.
Yeah. I think it should count.
It's stretching a little bit, but
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe I'll stretch those 200 wins a little bit too.
Give it to Richard. Yeah. Give it to Richard Petty. That's all I say.
There you go.
But very cool.
Anything else with the Cup race worth talking about?
On
most of it,
man. Yeah. Just, you said something that actually kind of made me laugh and scared me at the same time when you said, in our group chat that Truex got sent to the moon.
Yeah.
I mean, that was literally what happened. He was, oh man, I just can't get over those wrecks. I know we're going to move on here, but that's the biggest takeaway for me was just how massive those wrecks were.
One thing of note, as far as we're aware, this is a one-year deal, with Speedway Motorsports to run this race. I would imagine we'll do what we can to get back here next year.
I want to see it again.
Yeah. I would think that NASCAR is going to want to try it one more time.
I think
like you said, it wasn't a failure. So no. I don't think it's worth scrapping the idea at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Although it's a great location too.
Yeah. It's a great location. It's a cool track. I just don't know. I don't know. The longer these tracks get, which I am the guy who loves adding the carousel back at Sonoma and wants to add the boot at Watkins Glen. The longer these road courses get, the more spread out it gets, the worse the racing times is. So
yeah, the cream rises to the top, right? That's the saying, right? So you make these tracks more technical, you know, the best drivers are going to be there. And, you know, you look at the leaderboard here at the end of the day, Eric, I mean, you had Kyle Busch leading late, Chase Elliott, obviously, Kyle Larson, Joey Logano. I mean, those are some of the best wheelmen in the sport.
Right.
You don't really think of Joey as a road course racer, but he's really good at road course racing.
Yeah, he's another one that's good at anything.
Yeah, he gets top fives.
He won a freaking dirt race this year, for God's
sake. Won a dirt race. Yeah, he gets freaking top fives. So, yeah, these guys are legit, and they're really good. So, yeah. And that's what's going to happen. You keep adding the more technicality to these tracks, the best drivers are going to show up. And that's what we got on Sunday.
There you go. Truck Series and Xfinity Series also in action. We'll touch on those real quick. Truck Series, Toyota Tundra 225. Todd Gilliland.
Yeah.
I put in here muscles his way to the victory because I think
this long, was a strange trip of his career.
Yeah.
That was a cool win.
Ford gets the win.
Yeah. Yeah. Snuck one past Kaz Grala. I mean, that was that race got really spread out.
Yeah.
There was no doubt about it there. But he was there all day. He won the first stage, some strategy in stage two, and then obviously stage three, he got it done. So kudos to Todd Gilliland. He's just one of those guys like we've kind of forgotten about, you know. So it was cool to see him sneak back up there and get a win.
It's his second victory in 80 Camping World Truck Series starts. First victory and fifth top 10 in 2021.
First win for Bob Jenkins for him. With Bob Jenkins, I should say, because he has his other win, of course, the controversial win with Kyle Busch,
right?
A couple years ago, which was one of the more interesting post-win celebrations.
Right.
You can look that one up for yourself if you want.
Pretty sure that the audio played on the podcast.
Yeah, at some point. Yeah. Eric, our buddy Paul Menard, 11th.
Yeah.
Look at that. There he was.
Not bad.
What a day.
How about Sam Mayer in sixth?
Yeah.
17 years old, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Young. Yeah. Yeah. One person that is still sticks out to me every time I watch one of these truck series races, Carson Hocevar.
Yeah.
Really running good.
Yeah.
Really running good.
Highest finishing rookie.
One of our Michigan guys, you know, we kind of got to keep an eye on him. So I like that. I like when our Michigan drivers break through. So I'm really enjoying watching his progress. He's had some good runs here the last couple of weeks.
Yep. Sheldon Creed leads 14 laps to finish fifth.
Yeah, I thought he was going to win this one.
Yeah, I did too.
Pretty much, but yeah.
Let's see. Haley Deegan finished 14th, top 20 finish for her.
That was a good day. She beat Matt Craft. I mean, she beat some pretty good drivers.
Yeah.
Stuart Friesen.
Johnny Sauter.
Ryan Truex.
Well, I think Johnny Sauter is not a very good road course racer, if I remember
correctly. No, but yeah. But yeah, there's some I guess, big names in the truck series that she beat them. So that's pretty cool. John Herr Nemechek was a couple spots ahead of her. So
yeah,
that's pretty – yeah, good. That's a great day for Haley Deegan.
Yeah,
really great day for her.
Definitely worth mentioning.
Can't take it away from her when she has a good day like that.
No cautions in this race other than the two stage breaks.
Yes. Really this race really got spaced out.
Yep.
There was no doubt. No doubt about this one.
With that, the Xfinity Series, James, it was the Pit Boss 250 and it was all
KFB
gets the win. Just
dominated.
Destroyed everybody. 35 laps led out of 46.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, what else can you say? AJ Allmendinger manages a second place finish and,
yep.
Allgaier was up there too. Both of them led three laps. Kevin Harvick ran well. Good run for who the heck was he running for? I can't remember.
He ran for BJ McLeod.
That's right. Yeah. So great run for them, that team.
Yeah. Yeah. Gave that car a ride.
Yep. Austin Tyler finishes fifth.
Yep. Tyler Reddick was up there. Cole Custer came down and raced. Austin Dillon, 13th. So a couple of the guys, that had a good day. Justin Haley led a handful of laps too. So he was up there for a little bit.
Yeah.
Noah Gregson, what the heck? Lost an engine. This Noah Gregson stuff, man. He just somehow, some way. I was bummed about my buddy Boris said, just never really had a chance.
I think Boris is just, I mean, he's
out there.
Yeah. He's at the end of his career. I mean, He retired a couple times already. Yeah.
Yeah. He just keeps finding his way back. So
the
I'm sure we'll see him again.
Tour going.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll see him again.
Dana Hemric, what happened to him? I can't remember. Didn't he have a pit road thing or something?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. The shifter kept breaking.
Yeah.
So 29th place finish for Daniel Hemric. That was a bummer.
Yeah. Somebody had that happen in the Cup Series event, too. There was some,
I can't recall.
Oh my gosh, it's off the top of my head, but yeah, there was a lot of transmission issues when the gearboxes kept getting stuck. I think that's what happened to Daniel as well.
So
Daniel Suarez.
KFB gets his 98th victory in 358 Xfinity Series starts, two away from 100. He's got three, four more chances yet this season to hit the 100 mark. I think
so, yeah. Yeah, but he's only allowed to race, what, seven times or something like that? Five times? So, yeah, he's got a couple more shots at it.
Let's see, anything else worth mentioning here? I don't think so. Austin Cindric, points leader, 77 points over Harrison Burton right now
in the Xfinity Series. That's right, there you go. Boom.
And that's Circuit of the Americas.
Coda, we out of there.
I don't think it turned out to be what we wanted it to be, but also wasn't a complete disaster either. So
exactly, yeah.
Could have been worse, but not a whole lot.
Could have been worse. Could have been better.
Yeah.
Hey,
we didn't hurt anybody, so that's
good. It was interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah. A couple news items. Pretty short on the news this week. First of all, vaccination proof is no longer needed to get infield access. NASCAR has extended their essentially open garage ish. Through the next couple of races,
we are wide open, boy.
Yeah. So it leads you to believe that it's going to be continuing, leads you to believe that James and I might be, pooling around in the garage at Michigan, hopefully this year.
Yeah, I think so. That's a good chance.
So yeah, back to normal. Michigan's loosening capacity limits too. They'll be able to have full stands at Michigan.
There was a lot of people at that race on Sunday too. So
yeah, there were, especially for a rain race.
Yeah,
it's a road course. Those guys don't care about rain.
No. They just want to see a race.
Yep, exactly. Got some breaking news today. The Truck Series not going to Canada this year. Canadian Tire Motorsports Park race has been moved to Darlington on Labor Day weekend. It is now a doubleheader with the Cup Series.
Tripleheader.
Yeah. Well, it's a triple header, but it's a double header with the Cup Series on Sunday.
Yeah. Good call. That was me speaking out of turn.
Darlington says, if you got a ticket for the Cup race, you got a ticket for the truck race too. So
that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Logistically, that's, I guess, the best way to do it. So
yeah.
Yeah. Pretty neat.
Yeah. It's a bummer because Canadian Tire is a great track, but
it is a great track.
Canada doesn't have the crap together, especially Ontario right now. So
yeah.
Good thing they got that good Canadian healthcare up there.
That's right.
That's all I'll say. That's
right. Any Canadians listening to the podcast? We're sorry.
Probably. I know that there's at least one that may listen to the podcast that I met down in Michigan, but he's probably bailed on us by this point. So
maybe, yeah.
Let's see. Anything else in the news, James? I'm scrolling down the old Twitters. NASCAR Coca-Cola Series is at Charlotte right now.
There you go. Yep.
But otherwise I don't think there's anything.
Yeah, they were on last week when we were recording too. Might have been the cleanest of the races all weekend,
right? Scott Dixon's on the pole for the Indy 500.
Yeah, that was cool. That was, yeah, all the bump day stuff was kind of fun to keep track of. Indy 500 sneaking up on us, be there next week.
Let's see.
Adam Stern said that.
I'm right there too.
I was going to say Adam Stern said that Coda didn't get as many viewers as Dover, which I don't understand.
Yeah.
And neither does Jeff Gluck.
Right. It's funny. You saw the exact same tweet I did. Yeah.
So we're scrolling through at the exact same time.
So, all right. Well, let's move away from Coda and move on to Charlotte Motor Speedway. It's Coca-Cola 600 weekend, James. We got three races this weekend. It's a little bit different schedule than normal because with the All-Star race not there this year, we've got the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Cup Series all on the same weekend. Usually the Trucks are the week before. Truck Series starts out. Oh, I got to get my picks ready because I do not know who I'm picking for these races.
Oh, man, Eric.
I'm guessing you're probably totally prepared and you're going to kick my freaking
race. I am not so prepared on the minor leagues, but...
So it is the North Carolina Education Lottery 200 for the Camping World Truck Series. And dang, I don't know who the heck to pick for this thing.
Eric, until you beat me on Sunday, because you beat me by 2 points, I had a 7-race winning streak going.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
And it bums me out. And you beat me twice last week in race results, but I was able, thank you to Ben Rhodes, for winning that stage, because that gave me just enough points to beat Sheldon Creed. So 124 for you, 138 for me. So the winning streak continues.
There you go. Thanks for doing that, because I forgot it was so bad. And killed me some time for me to put John Hunter Nemechek down as my pick, because
that's what the people in the biz call filibustering.
Dude, I'm so far behind, I gotta pick John Hunter for this race.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That's a good pick.
I'm 100 points behind you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's freaking ridiculous.
That opens the door for Mr. Sheldon Creed.
Yeah, of course.
I will take Mr. Sheldon Creed. So there you go. Sheldon Creed and John Hunter Nemechek for Eric.
There you go. And then the Xfinity series. Now I've lost my page.
Eric, you get to pick first on all these races now. So
I know. Yeah, that's what happens when you suck. And
well, the pressure's off, man. You get first choice.
It's not. The pressure's worse.
The more you get in the hole, the harder the pressure gets, huh?
Who the heck did I pick?
You had Austin Cindric last week.
Okay, so I wasn't going to go with him anyway.
Yeah, you can't take Cindric at Charlotte.
James, I'm gonna go with the guy I keep putting my chips on, and say he's gonna finally do it. And I'm going Daniel Hemric on this thing.
All right,
he's got to get a win here.
I like that you have the confidence in Mr. Daniel Hemric.
Man, he's done well for me, but he's not getting the win. So
yeah, well, I'm going to make a strategy play, but it's not going to work really. It's not going to work out for me. Cause you're going to be able to take Cindric next week before me anyway, unless I score 0 points all week this week. I don't think
one with Gregson.
Well, yeah, no, I was going to say I'd like a shot at taking Cindric at Mid Ohio. But I don't think he's going to be available to me, which that's okay. I will take Mr. Harrison Burton to get her done this week. Yep. I'll go with that Toyota Speed over at Joe Gibbs. Over there to go the JGR side of things. So
there you go. And with that, it is the Coca-Cola 600 for the NASCAR
Crown
Cup
Jewel
Series. Yes. Longest race in the circuit. The only race with four stages, James.
Four stages now. Yep. Actually, now I used to hate that. I don't really hate it anymore.
So. No, I like that they're even, and I like that they did that at COTA this weekend too, that the stages are pretty even.
Yeah.
I don't like the big long stage at the end.
Yeah. I like them like they're a little closer together. So
yeah.
Our attention spans are so bad.
Racing Reference changed their page or something. The layout.
Yeah. Different. They're not letting me see the last, I like to, when I go to Racing Reference, I like to look at the last three. I feel like that's a really good gauge on how things have been going the last couple of years, but it's not letting me do that anymore. So that's okay.
This one's tough because Tyler Reddick has the best average finish. He's only run two races there, but Reddick's a really good pick for this.
He is a sneaky good pick. Yeah.
He's certainly one that could get you some points if it worked out, but I'm not going to go that route.
I think there's one right choice here. Maybe two.
I'm curious. Who'd I pick for Cup?
Well, I'm not allowed to pick who I think will win this race. If that gives you a hint.
Okay. That's probably a really good pick. I'm not going to go with him though.
Well, another one is the guy who went to the moon on Sunday too.
He's I know. That's another good pick too. And I'm also leaning against him.
He's good at stinking up a show.
All right. Give me Kyle Larson. I'm going to play. I got to play offense. I'm going to take Kyle Larson.
You need the points.
James, I was leaning really heavy towards Joey Logano for some reason.
Yeah, Jolo, he's good, man.
He's just so good right now, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he has been pretty good.
Larson's going to wreck out of this thing, and then I'll look stupid.
Somebody who I wanted to pick is a recent winner of this race, Brad Keselowski, but with stuff going on with him, I get a little sketched out. So let me hold on. I'm going to look at one more thing here.
See, that's what's happened with this, James, is that I started I started out really putting a lot of effort. Like I would pick this well in advance of the podcast, and lately I've been winging it. And I think that's why I'm struggling
to you
so
now.
Bad.
It's getting to you now. Okay. So I will take, actually, you know what? I'm going to take somebody who hasn't won here yet, but I think he's going to have a really good day. I'll take Denny Hamlin.
That's a good one.
Yep. I feel like Martin Truex Jr. is going to be maybe a better pick, but I'll take Denny. Denny's just been solid all year, and he may not win this race, but I guarantee you he'll get me about 45 points maybe.
Yeah, he'll be there.
Yeah, it's about protecting home court advantage right now.
So yeah,
There you go.
I don't know why neither of us picked Truex. I mean, this is
it's stupid.
This is the place that Truex makes look everybody look stupid at.
Yeah, he's gonna go out there and lead 400 laps and stink up the show. So
pretty much. So there's our picks for Charlotte. We're coming off of Circuit of the Americas for the fantasy league, and I don't know. We don't really need to talk about, right, James?
Hey, yeah, we do. I finally, the luck of the fantasy gods finally shone down upon
246 points. That's a good day.
It was a great day. I didn't. I've been so close to winning races, and then something silly has happened all season long. So, you know, I told you guys in our group chat, I'm like, this race was great. The red flag came out the perfect time to score me 246 points. So, I had Chase Elliott. I had Hendrick across the board for bonuses, and that really helped. So, I tried to
catch up on this one. I was watching it delayed.
Yeah.
And so I had Blaney, and Blaney had his trouble.
Yeah, that tire. Yeah.
I benched him, and then I forget who else had trouble, and I went to go bench him, and I'm like, there's no way that. Because where I was at in the broadcast,
if you had Truex, you know, I think a lot of people did have Truex, and
I couldn't get there quick enough to bench him.
Yeah.
But there was somebody else I went to go bench, and I couldn't believe I could still make the change. Like, how in the hell am I still being able to make this change? There's no way they're not at the stage break yet. The red flag.
Yep. And then you saw what happened. That's why. Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. The move for me was the winning move, I think, of the week, though, was benching Truex, like not even putting Truex in my lineup and putting Reddick in, which I was not sure was going to work, but I thought I could save that Truex start for somewhere else down the line. So
see, I put Daniel Suarez in my lineup for some dumb reason this week.
Yeah, I would have stuck with him, but then he had his transmission issue. Like, I thought about him pretty hard, but I'm trying to catch our leader here pretty hard. So
yeah,
but anyway, enough about me on the fantasy league. So I got the win. Team Draftona second and Bird 8U third. Justin 713 was 1 point behind third, so worth mentioning that one there. And then we go to the overall standings, as we always do.
Hey, wait a minute, you're skipping me. I was 13th, James.
You were 13th. I'm sorry,
I wasn't last.
I didn't want to say it. Oh. We had a couple people no show.
So. Yeah, three-way tie for 16th at zero.
Yes. So yeah, if you guys haven't put your lineups in, get it done.
Thankfully, Rusty W number 2 and Jay Wint were worse than me this week.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. And then really, really quick, we'll go overall top three. Well, we might do the top five. We got a hell of a battle for second, but it's Ranger. He's way out in front, 200 points to the good. And then Bird 8U. And then I bumped up to third, but I'm only a couple points ahead of Fast to the Grass and the KB Show. And Baron Speedway is not that far off either. So we've got a little bit of a kind of a skirmish for the second spot. I think that's going to be the only battle for the entire season, because this Ranger's running away with it now. He's way out in front. Well, there's your Fantasy League update if you care.
There you go. Any shout outs, James?
You know, I kind of thought I was going to have one.
While you think about it, I'm going to shout out Baron Speedway for like the millionth time, because every damn time he posts a new picture of that track on Instagram, it's just the
very
best.
Good. Yep.
It's so good. He's got a Goodyear blimp now. And he's doing a truck series race currently, photos from that. And it's incredible, man. He's the only one, like so many of these people have done these replica tracks, but he's got the freaking grandstand. He's got like a souvenir area. He's got everything.
I saw him. He's getting big time now because he's got a deal with Plan B Sales. Like an offer code that he puts out there for him now. So
yeah,
free shipping. I can't remember what it is, but go to his Instagram page. It's there.
Yeah. We probably need to get him on the podcast one more time before he's too big for us.
Yeah, we probably should. that's awesome. And then for me, gosh, I had it and I don't have it in front of me. I will make sure I am more prepared next week, because I saw something on the YouTubes and, let me be more prepared next week and I'll write it down. That way I don't forget.
Sounds good.
Yep.
James, where can they find you on social media if they want to hit you up during the week?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at T Super Speedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/thesuperspeedway. You can also find us on YouTube somewhere. I don't know where it is, but check us out on Facebook. We'll share the link on there. Video should be up Wednesday sometime, if not before then. If you want more of the podcast, you can find us at thesuperspeedway.com. You can find old episodes of the podcast, race coverage, past race coverage, photos, things like that. You can find the show notes there with links to the articles we discussed. Although there's not much today because we didn't discuss a whole lot. There wasn't much in the news. So you can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud, wherever you found us today. We hope you subscribe and continue to listen. Hopefully the video thing worked out. You guys can check that out if you like. Otherwise, keep us on your podcast player, and we'll be here every week as planned. We'll be back next week to break down Charlotte, discuss everything from the Coca-Cola 600 weekend, and preview whatever race we go to next after that. So that's how prepared I am. With that, everybody, we go to Charlotte this weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy some time with the family. Have a good barbecue and watch some good racing on Sunday. It's also the Indy 500 this weekend, guys. So check that out as well. Yep. Again, Scott Dixon on the pole for that one. And I don't think there's no Cup guys, no NASCAR guys running that this year, right?
Nobody? Nope, not that I'm aware of. Nope. Johnson. Nope, he's on the commentating team, though. So
there you go.
Something to watch.
Cool. So Indy 500, we'll talk about that a little bit next week, too, especially if it's good. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.